This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Get ready, you mother! All the big payback. Hey! Let me hit him! Hit him, Fred! Hit him!
I'm back. Hollywood Casino Press Box. On the all-new 590 The Fan, Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoyne, who's become a Billiken zealot. You've been to back-to-back games, I think.
Yeah, the Butler game. I skipped the Saluki game. They lost that game. Clearly, I needed to be there. Walking in yesterday, honestly, the first two people I saw in the whole building, you and Monique, kind of had your matching Slew Cusimano outfits.
That's right.
And it didn't take long for me to realize the dad's fashion faux pas. Carson and I were running around a little bit yesterday. He just happened to be wearing a bright orange sort of fleece top. No big deal.
Oregon State.
Except they're playing. And
the
I'm
Beavers.
Not. And I think it's so stupid when people say, "Where's your Cardinal tie, Frank?" Or you're down there on a Tuesday in May and they're playing the Brewers and you have a blue tie and somebody says, "Oh, you're wearing the Brewers colors." Oh, stop.
Why do you hate the Cardinals?
But this was pretty blatant because bright orange is a unique color. And we happen to have good seats that were right next to the Oregon State section, which I've always wondered, are those parents that are traveling from all over the country? Or do you think if you're an Oregon State alum and you live in Chicago, you make that trip just because you're never going to see your team?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you like to know where those people were from?
There's
probably about 60 fans there.
There was one guy right behind me wearing bright orange, yelling the whole time.
Is that Carson?
And then, so at halftime, so I just, oh, who cares? At halftime, Chris Gardner walks by, and everybody had already commented on his shirt. Chris Gardner said, "I think you should just go up to the pro shop there and get him a new shirt." I'm like, "Ah, he's fine. He's got Billiken gear at home." So then the seed was planted, and Carson said, "Dad, I want a new shirt." I went, so a $55 hoodie later.
Oh, that's the shock. You didn't text Kunderman, try to see if
he could get some free clothing. It's kind of tough. It's mid-game. Brian's keeping stats. It's a big... Hey, Brian, you got a coupon there?
Brian, sorry. Okay. All right. Next TV timeout. Come over here. I got to ask you something real quick.
Wow. You went to the team shop and bought him a
actually,
shirt.
At halftime, spent the money.
Monique said, "Look at Carson's clothes just changed right away."
At halftime, we dialed it up, and he was wearing the proper gear. There was a guy. He was on your side for a while. And then he was over on my side. He kind of looked like Blazing Saddles. There's an older guy, Gabby Johnson, who would always be yelling, "Oh, the sheriff is coming, the sheriff." He was an older gentleman, and he had an orange T-shirt, and it said Missouri's Beaver Believer. And he was the biggest Oregon State fan there.
Wow.
He looked like he was an elderly man.
Who gave you those free tickets, Martin? I know you didn't pay face value for those seats. Larry, the cam girl.
That is correct. The seats were comped, so that made me more likely to drop a little money at halftime. So it worked. It was a win for them.
Yes.
Clearly.
And you got free food, free drink.
But I
did not drink
food?
A beer.
Where were you sitting?
We were sitting in, are those club seats?
Yes.
Wow.
Behind the only problem, and I'm not complaining.
You're going to complain.
The Oregon State coach is like 6'10".
Yeah.
He's standing the whole time. I couldn't quite
see. He is exactly 6'10". I looked it up.
Sit down.
I couldn't quite see around the guy, and I said, "All right, I'm not going to complain, but we were a little too close, Frank." And I didn't eat much because I always have that George Costanza fear when you're in a front row or you're near the playing field if people spot you. I mean, were you chowing down?
I had the pretzels, and then I had a cookie there.
Yeah, I ordered the pretzel with cheese, and that was it.
Did you have a beer or not?
I did not.
Not good for you.
Well, you were off technically, right?
Yes.
You were there as more of a fan, did a little bit of work, but I was actually working yesterday.
Oh, you were? Okay.
So I should have only had a couple at that point. All right, how about 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, let's stick with the Billikens. 15 for 32 from the free throw line. Two-part question. How much do you think this eats a Travis Ford, who could probably still shoot 90%? And then secondly, if you shot 32 free throws today, how many are you making?
Oh, if I'm warmed up, I'm going to make 25.
Yeah, I think I can
26.
Make 20.
Yeah. Here's the thing, too, is I think Cartier, who went 5 for 13, he's not going to be a bad free throw shooter. He was yesterday. But you can tell Cartier's elbows tucked. He's got great follow through. He's got great backspin. He's fine. He just had a rough day and it got to his head. But a couple of those guys that shoot free throws, and I'm not going to mention names because they're college kids. They have ugly form. It comes off the outside finger. It's just brutal. So, yeah, it eats at him horribly. Oh, gosh, it's going to kill him.
Yeah, we did a little sit-down interview after, and I asked about it, and I think he kind of winced because there's not a whole lot you can do. Every day, don't all kids that play basketball end practice just sitting at the free throw line, shooting?
But, you know, he knew this last year, and you thought it could be corrected. But it goes back to my theory. In most cases, you are who you are as a shooter by about age 18 or 19. There are examples. Jason Kidd became a better shooter later in his career. Magic Johnson did. But you either are or you're not.
And maybe not a surprise, right? They're not a great shooting team, period. No.
Nope.
I like the idea, though. It seemed that they were trying to pound it inside, didn't it? To get French and Gordon these looks. And Cartier Gordon had a ton of shots that just didn't fall.
I'm going to tell you, if Cartier has just a reasonable day at the free throw line, Martin, he has 20 points as a freshman in that game. He had 12, and he was 5 of 13 from the line.
He was attacking the basket. That was the best thing.
Oh,
he wasn't
so
getting
anything
to drop. It is an underrated thing to do in St. Louis. It's a lot of alums, and people always poke fun at the geriatric Billiken crowd. But if you've not gone to a game, it's a ton of fun. I was at a Marquette watch party on Saturday, beat the Badgers. And there were some some people there who said, "Hey, I went to the SLU game there. I'd never been to Shavitz. It was great." Hey, there's a lot of people out there
great.
Who have not been. And we've said this with hockey. If you're not a big hockey fan, it's okay. Go to a game, and you'll love it.
Maybe not right now.
Well, maybe but... yeah. Maybe all right, or next year. All right, number two. You are Jerry Jones. Sorry. How many people do you want to call up and say,
"I told you so"?
Told you so.
Yeah.
On the Amari Cooper trade.
He's the executive of the year because of that trade, man. It's just changed everything. You thought they were going to have to fire the coach and be playoffless. Instead, they may win the division and they may be a weapon. All because of this guy, because he makes things great for Ezekiel. He makes things great for Dak Prescott. He changed everything.
You know, and it's not the worst thought. They said, "We're going to spend a first-round pick next year on a wide receiver. And we think he's as good as anybody we would draft next year." It's not a crazy thought when you examine it that way.
And he's only like 24 years old, so big deal.
And that was a great game.
It
took a while to get going. But the fourth quarter, all of a sudden, they both start scoring.
God, I wanted Ezekiel to score the touchdown at the end, though. I needed him badly.
How about Jason Garrett? He was probably thinking about selling his house. And now you have to keep him.
Yeah.
You can't fire him. Which some Cowboy fans might be mad about that. It was a good day of football watching. And I you said it earlier. I said it on TV last night. Yes, we hate the league. We really do. But, boy, the games are good. And there were so many of them yesterday. All right, number three. Can you name the Harold Baines career track? Can you? Because we know he played for the Sox. We know he played for the A's. I looked it up last night, and I still couldn't repeat it to you. He's played for the White Sox. He did play. Three times. He played for the Orioles. Three different times. Both teams, three. So it goes White Sox, Rangers, A's, Orioles, White Sox, Orioles, Indians, Orioles, White Sox. Isn't that the weirdest career resume?
Wow.
Orioles three times.
Did he play?
White
how many
Sox
seasons?
20? Times. I think it was 22? 1980 through 2001.
Wow.
And I like him a lot. Seemed like he was always a really good guy, good teammate. The blink on him, like my Lee Smith blink is Hall of Famer. I felt that way. Not just because he was here. He was so dominant as a closer. Harold Baines, my blink, is not a Hall of Famer.
It is worth noting, I think might have been Buster Jay Jaffe, formerly a Sports Illustrated.
He's the Hall of Fame guy, right?
Yes, he's on MLB Network, also works for Fangraphs. Does note that, so you need 75% of the 16 voters to say yes. Three of the 12 needed for Baines were Tony La Russa, Jerry Reinsdorf, and Pat Gillick. Three guys who managed or signed him or watched
so
him
automatic
a
three.
Lot. Yes.
So next year we need like Whitey Herzog on the committee. Oh, no, he was not a humongous Simmons fan.
Yeah, he had him for what?
Yeah, he moved him.
A year here, not even? Did he trade him before he had him? I'm trying to remember the math there. I think maybe before he had him or had him for a little bit.
I don't know if he had. Oh, I think he had him for a year. Yeah, because Whitey came before 82. Yeah.
So he had him in maybe 81-ish, 80, 81.
And so La Russa didn't have him. Ozzy didn't play with him. Or, yeah, I don't think he did.
Ozzy's first year was 81. I think Simmons was already gone.
We need
by
Robin Yount and Paul Molitor on this committee. That's what we need.
Bud Selig, maybe?
Yes. Pete Vukovich.
Sal Bando. Who
else can we get? Gorman former, Thomas.
Former Brewers on there.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against Harold Baines, but I felt this way last year, even with Alan Trammell. I thought he was a really good player. I just didn't think he was a Hall of Famer. All right, number four. Off my meds here. You are Craig Berube. True or false? You wish you'd never been named interim head coach. Now, they probably had to give you a little bit of a pay bump.
Yeah.
So there is that. I guess you have a better seat on the flight.
Well,
I don't know if I'd want this. He doesn't seem like he enjoys it a lot.
Yeah, it's going to end his chances of becoming a head coach in the league, because when you look at his record at the end of the year, oh, let's hire the guy who just went, 15-35.
And what are they now? I think they're 3-5-1 since the firing.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, they won on Friday.
Do you think he's glad he's in this position? I mean, you are a head coach.
Yeah, I think he is.
You do?
Yeah.
3-5-1, 9 games, 7 points.
I think he believes he can fire up the troops and still get it going. Now, there's probably a part of him thinking after yesterday, maybe.
Not with this group.
Yeah.
They played 28 games, and I know you get the overtime loss and all that. They've only won 10 out of 28 games. That's pretty bad. All right, number five, with the winter meetings underway, let's call it now. Where does Manny go? Where does Harper go? The Yankees apparently now heating up on Manny,
Yeah. Even
though one of the Steinbrenners was critical of him and that's not going to play here, the no-hustle thing.
Well, it's tough. I mean, but if I said, okay, you get a milkshake, if you get these correct, I would say Harper, Phillies, Machado, Yankees.
Have you ruled out the Nats?
For Harper, yeah.
Have
especially
you
after
out?
What the owner has said.
If I were them, I would go all in.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Keep them.
All right, so let's go around the table here.
I kind of like and John Heyman is now saying it about this year's group. The mystery teams are also out there.
Yes, God bless the mystery teams.
Don't forget the unnamed mystery teams.
Did you get that impression on Friday when we're talking to DeWitt and Mozeliak that Bryce Harper's coming here?
I think there's zero chance he's coming here. Now, that's a freezing cold take. You can rewind and play back.
I hope so.
And they could be lying to us because it would be smart for them to lie to us. I don't think they're in on Harper at all. I don't think they ever were.
Can you imagine if, tomorrow at this time, the Cardinals signed Bryce Harper?
I would love it. You could play that thing over and over and over again. I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. But I think even DeWitt III tried to tell everybody that at the jersey unveiling, the Potter Blues. He said, oh, we can do it. We have the money. But then you don't really have it to spend anywhere else. In other words, he was saying, we have a certain budget in mind for the team. You give one guy $40 million, that affects everything else. You're not getting anybody in the bullpen. You're not doing any other moves. I'd say zero chance. I'll go Phillies. That's kind of been the name. And that owner, unless he's bluffing everybody.
Yeah, he's
got
to get one of those guys.
How bad's he going to look if they get nobody? He did say they were willing to be stupid.
So did Boris actually use the $500 million figure? Somebody just said, Cruddy from Winghaven just said, Boris has asked for $500 million. I didn't hear that number.
Well, you can ask.
Yeah, you can ask all he wants.
I'll go Phillies on Harper. I'm going to go White Sox on Machado.
I agree with you on that, actually.
They're kind of getting closer to having a really good team, and they've been mentioned a few times. And they got to do something. I mean, the Cubs have owned that market now for a while, well, forever, even when the Sox were good. But I don't know. And then, Plaza, we'll give you mystery teams on both, okay? You're covered that way.
Mystery teams. That's my favorite. I don't really know any other teams. We'll just put a couple mystery teams out there.
What's a mystery team in baseball? Because you have the Yankees,
Cardinals.
The Dodgers.
Why does it need to be a secret? What?
Well, some team that you wouldn't expect to spend.
Well, the Twins aren't going to sign them. The Brewers aren't. The Marlins. You know, you could eliminate about.
Diamondbacks. I mean, you can.
No, yeah. Rangers. No,
I think
you can
mystery
eliminate.
Team
Mariners.
Was like Washington for Patrick Corbin. It just seemed like it was New York and Philadelphia going for him. And then all of a sudden, last minute. Here are the Nats.
But that, in that case, there's always a mystery team.
That's
for
what
every
makes it great. Correct. There's always a team that you go, oh, I didn't know you were going to sign him. But for Bryce Harper, what qualifies as a if he signs with the Yankees, is that a mystery team?
Jerry DePoto signs Bryce Harper and immediately trades him to the Cardinals.
Correct.
That's what's going to happen.
The definition of a mystery team is the Miami Marlins.
Right.
That would be
or the Minnesota Twins or the Detroit Tigers. So if Harper signs with the Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs,
mystery team,
Cardinals, have I mentioned a mystery team yet?
Memphis Redbirds.
I mean, we're
Rockies.
Well, like the Oakland A's would buy you.
That would be.
Somebody that doesn't spend.
That would be a mystery team. But I'm saying that's never going to happen.
I did find it funny. Somebody asked Murray over the Heisman weekend who he thinks Bryce Harper or who he wants to sign Bryce Harper. And this is a guy who's been drafted by the Oakland Athletics. They are going to pay him money, assuming he sticks with baseball. He said the Dodgers. I just thought that was funny. It's like you don't want to say the Athletics, as unrealistic as that might be. You're not going to say Oakland.
Sometimes players forget. For example, when Lee Smith told me, when he went into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame, and it was right before the October of 2016 playoffs, I asked about the Cubs. He said, oh, man, that city will go crazy if they win. He said, but I kind of think they will. I like the Cubs to win it all. And then he stopped and he said, oh, I work for the Giants. We'll probably win it all. He caught himself. He forgot for a second they were in the playoffs. That's what happens. You
forget. This just in from the rink. Tempers flare at practice as Bortuzzo and Sanford get into a scuffle. Punches were thrown. That's from Jeremy Rutherford. Also, Dick Ford's Boy Trophy reporting it today also.
Dick Ford's Boy Trophy is covering hockey? I don't even know what that means.
This just in. The Blues are blaming it on Mike Yeo.
Yes.
Chad Johnson on waivers.
Okay. They did call up. Yeah. Jordan Binnington, he'll be at the club playing squash.
That does sound really
nice. Charlie just tweeted out video of the scrap.
Oh, darn it. You guys
right?
Got video?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Chuck Marlowe on the scene?
He has video of his phone shooting into the camera video.
Wow.
Wow.
Is very Chuck Marlowe Dick Ford's boy toy? Boy trophy?
Dude, they're really going at it.
Yeah,
too,
they finally broke it up.
I wondered if, when you guys said that, I wondered if it was kind of staged. You know, like, hey, we got to let the fans know that we really care.
Let me tell you, if you're going out of your way to stage a fight in practice, then you have time to maybe work on hockey skills.
Is this a false flag fight? Is that what you're calling here, Martin?
So, Martin, since it's no big deal and didn't last very long, you guys aren't going to show it, right? It's going to be his lead story. 5, 6, and 10. Tempers erupted practice. That story next.
Teammate fight bump.
We'll get to. Yes, it's the teammate fight bump that's coming up out of this.
Dang
I
it.
I would think Bortuzzo.
I couldn't get a photographer there. Shoot.
Bortuzzo. don't worry, Frank. It's the Blues. It's okay. They're not.
Dang it.
The lead story will be a mystery team might get Machado.
Yeah.
Bortuzzo's a lot bigger than Sanford, though. I would say that's not a fair fight. I saw Bortuzzo. Do you ever say hi to these guys? If you know a player. So I was at Caldy's yesterday in the morning on Des Moines. You know, we're right by the old CBC. So I ran in there. Kim and I were running some errands. So I ran in there to get a coffee. And I see a guy standing there waiting for his order. It looks familiar. And I said to myself, oh, that's Robert Bortuzzo. But I also thought, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
I just left him alone.
Oh, I don't really say it if I really knew the guy.
Yeah, I mean, if it's somebody you know well, you go over and say hi. But I didn't just say, hey, Robert, go get him today. I didn't. I just kind of let it go. Obviously, he was pissed about it. All right, 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
All right, a couple of business items for all of your eye care needs. See Dr. Michael Jones, Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. Dr. Jones, longtime friend of the show. He practices complete eye care both sides of the river. He's the best at what he does. Tell them that I sent you. Get your eyes fixed forever. 866-260-EYES. Then we have Beck Shoe Polishers. If you're looking for that gift for the guy who has everything, go to BeckShoeProducts.com. World-renowned and recognizable, Beck Shoe Polishers make a great gift item for dads, executives, and graduates. Any listeners, if you have a hard time figuring out a gift, why not Beck Shoe Polishers? You remember it. It's probably in your father's closet, your grandfather's closet. Maybe you saw it at a club or something. It's these chrome machines. They were featured in American Express ads with Jerry Seinfeld. One is a black brush, one is a red brush, and they clean your shoes up like you've never seen before. So if you want that ultimate Christmas present, BeckShoeProducts.com. We'll be right back.